Hey, girl. Okay. Hey, Brie. I am wondering if you can introduce yourself to our listeners.
My name is Bree. Brianna, I guess. I am a student working with Natural Resources Canada. I am in my undergrad in my fifth year at the University of Guelph in biological science and psychology. And I'm a rugby player. So I play for the University of Guelph. I play for Team Ontario, for Team Canada, Eastern Ontario as well. If you can't find me studying, you will find me playing rugby because that's my favorite pastime.
Yeah, you did. You played for Team Canada.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, so Vishala, if you didn't know, so rugby, sorry, not rugby. Brianna played for Team Canada's under 23 women's rugby team just this past month. And Brianna, how did that go?
It was amazing. We played in a series, a two-game series called the Border Battle. We played against the USA and we beat them both times, which was great. The first time, I think it was like 24 to 12. It was kind of a close game. And we went back to the drawing board and we were like, I think we have some work to do, some unfinished work left on the field. And we came back and beat them 55 to 5. I believe that was the score. We definitely won that battle. It was great. It was such an amazing opportunity, and I'm blessed to have been part of that.
It was an incredible game. I am not ashamed to admit I watched that. It was fantastic. You did some incredible takedowns. I was so impressed.
Thank
I'm so
you,
glad you work with us. It's just
thank you.
so cool.
Oh my goodness, thank you.
That
Thanks.
is so cool. That's so exciting. I'm gonna jump into one of the questions if that's okay.
Cool.
Okay, so how did you get into rugby union? Canada is not one of the countries where rugby is a major sport. So how did you get into rugby? How did you find out about it? What piqued your interest?
So it's funny, like I was always a basketball player. I thought that I was going to go to the league. I really thought that that was going to be my sport. But my high school coach is actually the head coach, was the head coach for Carleton University. I guess he saw me walking in the halls one day and he was like, I think you would be good at rugby. Like all of the rugby players kind of stalked me and they were like, come to tryouts, come to tryouts. So I went to tryouts and I played that first season. The next season, I got asked to try out for U18 Team Canada. And I made the team that year. And I had like played like maybe 10 games of high school rugby. So like it wasn't even good rugby. It was just people just kind of like getting the ball and running. I didn't know the rules. I still don't know the
I still don't know the rules.
rules. Yeah.
You and
So
me both, buddy. You and me both.
I
I
mean,
was
yeah, I was
watching, but
so
I was like,
fortunate.
I don't know. I yes. Point. Team. Score.
Yeah. Touchdown. I got fortunate and it was an incredible experience just getting to, play with amazing people. The people that I played with in high school, like all around high school, they are now like in the Olympics. They're now playing for great teams.
So, is this something you think you'll continue to pursue professionally?
That's my hope. I guess wherever it takes me, we'll see. That's my hope for sure.
Can I ask you, because I'm curious about this, what was your training schedule like just before the big Team Canada game? And because you were doing that while you were working with Enercan. And you're going to be doing that, like you're going to be working with us for the rest of the year. So yeah, so take us through what your training schedule is like.
So sometimes I play for multiple teams at a time. So at that time I was playing for the Griffins and Guelph Redcoats, which was a club team. So I have practice every day. like rugby practice every day, and then we have lift times, so that would be probably like about 3 times a week. So we're in the gym lifting heavy weights and things like that. And then we have games every weekend. So with rugby, like you kind of want a week in between games, like high performance games. And yeah, like even going into this season now, we have practice every day, and then a game every weekend. And then same time, like same things, lifts, speed sessions. I personally have agility sessions because I'm not as agile as I should be. we stay pretty active. But honestly, if I wasn't, I don't think I would be where I am today.
Yeah, I understand that. No, I know. Sometimes a sport or exercise or athletic activity, it just keeps you sane. I don't know if it's like that for you, but definitely it's like that for me. If I'm ever too moody or like unmotivated or anything like that, my husband's immediately like, "Have you been working out? You're doing your workouts." I'm like, "No."
It's
So I get that push from him for sure.
definitely a great release for sure.
I can't believe that schedule. It's a every day and then doing the weekend games and you're and working full time. It's crazy. And you're going to be working with us during the year and you're going to be going back to school. It's your last year, right?
It's my last year, so yeah.
Incredible.
We'll make it work. We always got to make it work. So
That's true. That's true. So I wanted to ask you something. So I was while I was watching your game, your Team Canada game, I noticed the announcers were calling you Bree Marley. I was wondering, I actually had to like then check my work email because I was like, have I been saying Brianna's name wrong? Like is and but no, it's Marty.
Yes.
So what is that about?
Yeah. Sometimes I guess you can look at it from different angles. Sometimes it's a common mistake and people just mispronounce. Unfortunately for me, it happens all too often that my name is either called like mispronounced or I'm called someone altogether. It definitely goes within to like into a deeper issue in equitable sport and safe sport and things like that. And I've this is a fight that I've been fighting for a while.
That's a bit sad. Question, is the other player's name that you're always called, is it the only other black woman on the team?
It is the only other black
Oh,
woman
okay.
on the team. And not only the only other black woman on the team, but the only other black woman who has a more African sounding name. So it's funny, like if you look at my name on paper, Brianna Marty, you're just kind of like, oh, okay, we all have those biases, and we put that, let's put a face to the name, and people don't usually expect to see me. And I've had lots of encounters where that happens, where people actually have almost removed me from events because they're like, oh, that's you're not the person whose name is on that tag. And yeah, like I've had to have my mom bring my health card once because the convener didn't think that I was Brianna Marty. She thought that I stole my name tag from one of my friends to get into the venue. So not only do they call me not by my name, but they call me by a more African sounding name. Let's say the truth, rugby is not as inclusive as I wish that it would be. There's not a lot of black or other women of color, players of color in general. And so having this be another barrier and another obstacle it's a little sad. It's a little heart disheartening because I want to go far in this sport, respected, and I want to be known by my name, by my identity.
Of course, yeah, of course. That's very sad for me to hear. I'm very sorry you have to go through that. Like having to justify that you have a North American sounding name and not an African sounding name. That's a little bit strange. And it's not like you have a very hard name to pronounce. You would think that that would be like
Absolutely.
Marty, like Back to the Future, Marty,
It's and it's very like easily like phonetically pronounced how it's spelled, so
Yeah.
it's
There's no, yeah.
yeah, for sure.
I that's just really sad for me to hear. And you're right, like confusing you with just like the one other black woman on the team, it makes it seem like there's only one black woman playing on the team. And but also I was thinking, like, isn't that why they you have jersey numbers?
So you're and especially in rugby, your jersey number goes to your position, and so it's
Yeah.
also always very like important that like okay, Brianna Marty's wearing number one because she's playing like loose head prop, but for some reason they still get it wrong. And it's like you were saying, like it sucks to go all of this way and be called by the wrong name, because where is my recognition in all of the work that I've done? Where is the recognition of this other teammate in all of the work that they've done, you know? And now you're taking away from my identity, but you're also taking away from, you know, the encouragement and the empowerment that's been given to me by my family and by my peers and from hers as well. It's not just a mistake of calling the wrong name. It's a massive slip of identity. It's a massive slip of, you know, individuality, and that's what we're missing when these things happen. And it's something that I've been fighting for a while.
And and so what have you engaged with U Sports at all about that?
So we're under U Sports, and one of the biggest tournaments that we have at the end of the year is Nationals, where all the top 10 best teams of the university's athletics come together and play. And in our final game, our actually throughout the whole tournament, they had been calling us the wrong name. They even called me names from girls on the other team. It just got so bad. And so I took it upon myself to write a letter to U Sports. And I addressed it to anyone and everyone of their email that I could find. And I actually got a response back from the CEO of U Sport. And I had a conversation with him, and he did apologize, and he did understand, you know, the misidentification and the ramifications that that has, especially for athletes of color, right? Like, it's not just like you miss, oh, so and so looks like this person, so you know, I accidentally mix them up. But especially for athletes of color, when we've lost so much and our names are so important to us because we finally get that power back. And I explained to them, especially my heritage being from Ghana, my name means that I'm the firstborn girl, my last name. And that's
Oh, cool.
important. And yeah, and imagine like if you have another a young Ghanaian girl watching rugby and being like, oh my goodness, like what this name means. But if we're mispronouncing that, or if we're misrepresenting that, we miss representation as a whole. And I think there's just a bigger picture that we need to hit the mark. So that was a conversation that I had. And yeah, it was a good conversation for sure, but I definitely want more work to be done.
100%. And you had the conversation last year.
Last November.
I'm glad. Well, I'm glad at least the president reached out and had that conversation with you. But they were still mispronouncing your name
There was some
this
mistake
time.
this time. So like I
So
said,
work to be
all the
done.
work needs to be done.
Work to be done. But I wanted to give you kudos on the letter that you wrote.
Thank
I
you.
love the opening line. So I'm just going to read it out really quick. My name is Brianna Marty. I want to start out by saying that it's very important for me that you know and understand that this is my name. Say it with your chest. That was great. Such a powerful line. I love that line.
You know, my mama gave me that name, and she wants to hear like when I get my glory and my stars that this is the name that has done all of the work. But there's power behind it too, so absolutely.
Heck yeah. So, who are some of your role models that you look up to? Anyone that you aspire to be in terms of like the sports world?
Honestly, it might be a bit cliche, but I love Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Like she's insane, she's amazing, and I think a lot of my story kind of follows hers, not like she's a powerful athlete, but she always wasn't given her stars because she didn't have like that athlete's body. She didn't have, you know, that quote unquote like signature look for a tennis player. And I kind of grew up in that as well. Like I was always the tallest kid in class, always the bigger kid. And honestly, even playing in basketball, I would always foul out because, you know, people would be like, I couldn't control my body. But coming into rugby, I was able to do that. And I found a place on the field. And I think Serena Williams kind of finally found her place and her comfortability in her body. And she was like, I don't care what people think. This is me, and my body can do amazing things, and I'm gonna embrace it. And that's what I love about her. And that's kind of why I kind of give myself that motivation pep talk. I'm like, this is what I love about my body, and this is what my body can do for me, and I love that. Oh, yeah.
I love that. I think that's so important. And you're absolutely right. Like she doesn't have that traditional like slim kind of tennis player's body. And but it make and it makes her powerful, you know? She's
She's
so
like we say, she's the goat, but she's amazing. Like I think that I think also her going against what everyone else believes is insane and is amazing. And it goes to show how much powerful she is.
Yeah, and I was thinking about what you had mentioned earlier about when you were, I believe it was high school, you said, where the coach came up to you and said, "I think you're a rugby player," because you were naturally like doing basketball, because that's I think what we most one of the sports we know the most about, and they probably saw like your physique, you're probably more of a rugby type build, and so that's a great way for you to use what you have in supporting this career that you may not have known to even explore in this sport.
I think that's a really great point that you brought up, because I think all of us are always like, what do people think about our bodies and things like that, and kind of have that thought in the back of our head. But having someone recognize that, like, my body could do amazing things was a huge thing, and it's brought me on this amazing path, you know, and now I'm doing great things in this sport with my body that does amazing things for me. So yeah, I think that's a great point that you brought up.
This is so exciting. And so I'm starting to get into rugby a little bit because
Oh, amazing.
I'll be traveling to Australia and New Zealand
No
next
way.
week. And I have an Aussie friend who I will be meeting up with, and I was talking with him, and he remarked to me that their impression in Australia is that North American countries could really become competitive at rugby because of our population sizes and the talent pool that's here. Do you see any growth in the sport in Canada?
There is massive growth right now. I think in young women's, I think rugby is one of the fastest growing sport, like in age grade. And I think that's incredible. Like, so Canada just played Australia, New Zealand, and the USA in Ottawa. And there were over 10,000 people in attendance for a women's national rugby game. And that's almost unheard of, especially in North America. And so just like the recognition that women's sport is getting already in North America is insane. And because our population is growing, and because we have so many people from diverse backgrounds, they want to try and they want to get involved. And I think that, like, that's such a beautiful thing. And rugby is so welcoming because no matter your body shape, no matter your size, there's a place for you on the field, right? It really, one of the best things that you can have playing the sport is confidence. So if you have confidence, you're gonna excel.
I got goosebumps for you when you said 10,000 people. That is
Yeah, it
amazing. I
was
love
lots of
that.
people. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll throw it to you. Thank you. So I know that Canadian soccer is currently having issues regarding funding, which Christine Sinclair, she recently said it's a major challenge for the sport growing and being more competitive. So, what are the opportunities in that regard, or the threats that you see to rugby in Canada?
Because rugby isn't so like one of the top five North American sports at the moment, like I said, we are growing and we will be soon. There's not a lot of money in it, especially in the pro leagues here in North America. But once you go out to Europe, there is, and I guess that's kind of the same as soccer. But We're kind of this on the same path as the female soccer team that like we're winning games. We're doing better than the men's side. We are getting our recognition for the amazing work that we're putting in, and we're starting a lot of development academies. And so I think once we do get that recognition, once we do get people into the sport, we'll start to get funding. But it's sad that rugby is still very much a pay-to-play sport. You know, when the World Cup was happening, people had to take off 4 months of work, and there wasn't a lot of money in, yeah, to support the players going to the World Cup. Whereas other teams are able to support their teams who are recognized or representing their country. So one of the things that provides a bit of motivation for us is that someone was able to stand up and take a stand against these equal pay issues. So Christine Sinclair is definitely a role model to the rugby community, and that she was able to do that. And I think we're soon to follow. These conversations need to be had, and if we're winning games and if we're showing that this is a sport that's provides a lot more than just entertainment, I think we should be well up there.
100%. Yeah. No, and the more, like you said, the more that you're winning games, and you're winning games by such a huge lead, like 55 to 15 against the US. I hope that would get the equal pay that you guys deserve. Like 4 months off work is no small thing. People still have to pay rent or pay their mortgage.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I hope you guys can get
Absolutely.
that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks.
Oh God, sorry. We're gonna have to cut out that thunk. Now I wanna turn back a little bit to university. You're part of quite a few committees, just as you mentioned in your biography. You're part of quite a few committees at university. So how did you get involved with those? What made you go for those committees? And then also, how do you protect yourself from burnout doing all of these separate things?
So the major committee that I'm on actually is the Anti-Racism, Anti-Oppression Committee at the university. And I was actually recommended for that committee. I did not know that it was a thing. And which speaks volumes, because the reason I was recommended was because I took a stand on our rugby team, because we were dealing with a lot of racism, and we were dealing with a lot of ignorant comments and people who were uneducated. And I took a stand and I said, this is enough, and we need to do something about it, as one of the only three Black people on the team. The university saw the work that I was doing, and they said, you know what, we would like you to be on this advisory committee for the president of the university. As one of the only undergraduate students on that committee, I advised Charlotte Yates on policies. We are trying to come up with legislation for the university. Because believe it or not, right now, if I go to the university and I tell them that somebody has committed a crime against me because of the color of my skin, they have no obligation to investigate or to provide any disciplinary action.
Oh.
And only recently, they had something come out for disabilities. So if I said that somebody has discriminated against me because of disability, then there is a legal obligation for them. But when it comes to race, there isn't. And so that's kind of the work that we're doing right now. And I like it. Being recommended for that means that I was doing something right, and somebody saw what I was doing and they liked that. And I guess it keeps me from burnout because it's something that I'm passionate about. I think that this work is important, and I think that this work needs to be done. And I love doing the work with people who love doing the work. I'm name dropped before, but I work with Lawrence Hill. He wrote the Book of Negroes. He's an amazing author. And he's an amazing professor, an amazing teacher, and just an amazing all-around person. And so working with people like that who are like-minded and who have the same passions, it just kind of keeps me motivated. Like, I don't want to stop doing the work I do. It gets me up every day. So I guess that kind of keeps me from burnout.
Fills your cup.
Is
I mean,
absolutely exactly.
and it's important. I mean, it's important work. I didn't know that your university doesn't have any, like, students don't have any recourse for if you report anything for race or hate speech or anything like that. And I don't remember that from my undergrad days. Like, I remember for our university, like they took it very seriously. So I would hope that I'm glad that you're on the committee. I'm glad that things are hopefully changing in that direction, and you're going to leave a good legacy behind at your university for students who didn't have the courage
That's my
to,
hope.
I mean, kudos to you. That's a lot to take on in your undergrad.
Thank you. I think it's important work to do, and I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, that kind of leads me to the question, do they have anything for sexual harassment of women?
So they do right now because it's an Ontario, like through the Ontario Tribunal and the legal courts. There is like if you report it, there is a mandate and a legal obligation to do something about it. But you would be surprised the amount of universities that they only have like a policy, but there's no legal obligation. And yeah, it's kind of sad because you can tell them and it can go so far. That and they'll just be like, "Oh, I'm sorry that happened to you," and that's it. It's done.
Yes.
Well, hopefully that changes.
Yeah, that's the work that we're doing, and we're getting close. So, yeah, it's exciting work.
Exciting
That's
work
awesome.
and important work. So you have school on your plate, these committees on your plate, and you're also a student of the Government of Canada. You work for Natural Resources Canada. So what's your impression of the public service so far?
Honestly, I got extremely lucky with the team that I'm on. I work with the great people. Neha's on that team, and I like it. And it's interesting because I have worked in government before. I worked for Statistics Canada, but it was very different. I was working with them during the census, so it was very, a lot of individual work. But there's a lot of collaboration in this group, and everyone holds everyone to a very high standard and high regard, and it's incredible for me to see. Also, I'm on a team that's full of women, which is great. I think Richard is the only guy on our team, our small team, but
One
he fits
man.
in very well. And I think that's like incredible for me to see. Because of the future of where government is going and public service is going, to see women in positions of power and to do great work, it gives me hope because I'm able to see myself in those positions in the future. I am still a student, so I don't know exactly what I want to do, but having this position right now and this stepping stone is amazing. Everybody is so nice to me. Everyone is so helpful. I have very silly questions sometimes. Today I had to ask someone how to change my inbox from the sender view to the like actual receiving view. And nobody, like everyone's like, "Oh, you just do this." Like no one's laughing at me or anything, but I know it's such a silly question. But it's amazing. And the work that I'm doing, the trust that's been instilled in me is amazing. So yeah, I'm liking it so far. Highly would recommend. 10/10, great job.
Pat myself on the back.
Yeah,
Just butter
absolutely.
me
Absolutely.
up. I'm really glad to hear that. Do you think climate and energy then is a field that you would like to get into after university, or what are your
So my
thoughts?
biggest thing is healthcare and advocacy, but I've been taking a lot of courses on how the environment is affecting healthcare accessibility, and I know that NRCan has a division on that. And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't know these two things mixed. So that's something that I've been really interested in, and I do want to do a master's. So I've been doing a lot of research on how I can get into that and bring those two things together for sure. So I think this is like a great stepping stone. Like I'm learning so much. I'm doing so much. They trust me with a lot at this job, which is nice, but
Because you're capable. It's because you're capable. You're a
yeah.
capable person.
And they like what I'm doing so far. So no one's yelled at me yet, which is great. I haven't messed up yet, so which is also great. So it's amazing.
I'm happy to hear your interest in the healthcare aspect too, because I'm a person with a disability and I've been working with a doctor who's a specialist in environmental health. So there is actually that field where you
No
talk about the
way.
environment and how that affects people's bodies and their health and their
Yeah.
well-being. So there's a future in that. I'm so glad to see your
Oh my
interest
goodness.
because it's a huge field and it's not a very well understood field. People with ME/CFS or
Yeah.
fibromyalgia, there's a lot of demystifying that still needs to happen. We don't know what
Yeah.
causes it. We don't know how to alleviate it. There's no cure for these conditions. So environmental health is really emerging science, and I think you'll be great in that.
That gave me goosebumps. I'm so happy to hear that there's something out there with my interests and like testimony too. Like I want to see and be front row to the people that I'm helping. And so I think that's amazing. Thanks for sharing that.
The climate's gonna just end up affecting everything.
Absolutely.
And we've seen that this summer for
Yeah.
sure. Like just an example, like when air quality reaches really terrible levels because of wildfire smog,
Yeah.
people with asthma, they're gonna have worse impacts. People with who are like immunocompromised, they're gonna have worse impacts. So it is really great to hear that people like you, Bree, are going to be looking into that. It's an area of
Yeah.
interest. It's something that's really important.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, on that note, do you have any questions for us?
No, I'm just so excited and so thankful to be here. Again, like everyone's been so accommodating and so nice to me and so encouraging. I'm like, wow, this is great. So, yeah, I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course. It's been great to chat with you, Brie. I wanted to do this for a while. So I'm glad we were able to make the time.
You.
Yeah, I didn't realize you were on the same team. How special.
Yeah. Right? Like I get to work with someone as amazing as Mia, so I'm blessed.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. You have to stop that. You have to stop that. That's gonna go again.
Oh,
But no, we're very glad to have Brie on the team. It's been
amazing.
fantastic. Yeah, it also just really inspiring to me because you're seeing young people get into all these different fields and all these different interests, advocating for different things, advocating for empowerment, for equity, for anti-racism. So really just happy to see that.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks.
So thanks again, Bree, and you and I will see each other on Monday.
Yes.
But we're glad you're able to do this with us, and hope we'll talk soon. Maybe we can have you on the podcast a little bit later. You when you've
Yeah.
graduated, maybe after the fall. Be great to
Cool.
touch base with you again.
Amazing. Yeah, that sounds
Yeah,
great. I'd
I
love
have
to.
no doubt you will be a force in this field, and you'll be a voice that we're going to hear more and more of. You might be the rugby version of Christine Sinclair, and I have I have great hope, and I know we're going to see big things from you. When is your next match? Like, when can we see you next?
Yeah, so actually, I'm now switching to the varsity season, so playing for the University of Guelph, and our first game is September 2nd. It's a home game against Brock University.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to tune in for that. That's great.
Amazing.
Thanks again.
Thanks for having me, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay. That's where we're going to stop it. How was that, Brie?
Oh, good. Anything that you guys have for me? No?
I think that was great. Yeah, I think
Okay.
that was great. I just noted a couple of things where we might have to just cut out, like me and Vishala just switching over to each other. So we'll cut those little pieces out.
Okay.
But
I
no,
stole one of
very
her questions and then she took one of mine. It was like,
yeah.
it was a whole
I know
thing.
I messed around. I messed up.
No, that's okay.
But
And
thanks, Vishala.
I was eliminating questions as we were going through. So when you're like, oh, number eight, I was like, oh, I don't have an eight anymore. Like
Oh, no.
switch screens.
Yeah. Because it was good because Brie, you were already touching on some of the questions that were following. So
Yeah.
I was just like, we don't need to ask that anymore. No, it was great. And thanks, Michelle, for your questions. I think you were critically thinking, which I was not able to engage in just today, and like asking really great questions. So I love that the sexual harassment policy is great. The
Yeah,
question just at the
absolutely.
end just now was fantastic. Amazing. I love it. It was short and tight. And you're very well spoken, Bree. So well
Thank
done.
you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm excited, guys.
Fantastic. I will. So I'm going to end this recording. Stop the recording.